Hey, as you grab a seat, would you just thank those that are leading us this morning up here? Yeah. Good morning. Hey, my name's Tim. I'm the lead pastor here, and this is one of my favorite Sundays of the year. And I also didn't sleep a ton last night, so I have no idea what's going to come out of my mouth right now. But this is really exciting for me. This day, this Sunday, if this is your first time here on this particular Sunday in the life of Mosaic, this is what we call our Thanksgiving celebration. And it's this Sunday every year that we do things just slightly different. And if you've noticed that there is food in bags around you, that's an effort on our part to share all that God has given to us with others in need in our city. And so if you don't have food and you just showed up today, that's totally fine. If you do have it, hang on. Don't eat it, but hang on to it for a little while longer, and we're going to do something with it in just a little bit. But this is the Sunday in the life of our church every year that we call our Thanksgiving celebration. It's a chance for us to give thanks. And not that we don't give thanks every Sunday when we gather, but this Sunday we set aside as we head into this week where we have our holiday of Thanksgiving on Thursday. And so we're gonna give food in a unique way today. We're gonna continue to worship, look to Scripture, and then we've got somebody that's gonna be baptized today in this gathering as well. And so this is a special gathering. I wanna take a few moments and just look into what Scripture has to say about giving thanks. And obviously, this is natural for us to do as this is our gathering, and we're heading into this week. But it might seem like it's almost too obvious. I kind of want to just stop and pause and go, what does it mean for a follower of Jesus? If you're here and you're not following Jesus, that's fine. That's wonderful. We're so glad that you're here with us today. But to actually stop and just say, what does Scripture actually say about expressing gratitude, about being grateful, about giving thanks? Many times in our life, giving thanks is kind of spontaneous. Somebody does something for us or gives something to us, and it's just very natural to respond with thanks. It just kind of is spontaneous, and it just naturally flows out of us. Other times, it's a choice, or maybe in response to being reminded, hey, give thanks. I want to look at one verse with us, actually three different verses, but the first one is this one. It's in Psalm 107, and it's just the very first verse, and it's just really simple. It just says this: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. It's this encouragement, this command, this instruction, this invitation to give thanks, for the Lord is good. And then what does it mean that he's good? Is that his love never ends. His love goes on forever and ever. You've probably had this experience where somebody has said, hey, give thanks. Say thank you. And you kind of missed something, that something was done for you or given to you that you kind of missed. Maybe somebody held the door open for you and you didn't notice that you walked through. We have our kids in here with us in our gathering today. Hey, if you're a kid that's not normally in here and you're in here today, will you put your hand up? Thank you. You can go back to coloring in just a moment, but put your hand up. Welcome. We're so glad that you're here. You can clap for them. Is that just the kids clapping for themselves? There we go. Okay. So glad to have you in here. You've probably had this experience, kids, in the last, hour, where somebody did something for you and a parent said, hey, say thanks to that. And you're like, what just happened? I missed something. We've all had that experience where we've been reminded, hey, give thanks, and you missed something happened, and you missed it. It flew right by, and you didn't catch it that somebody did something for you. There's this sense of that happening in this verse. Give thanks, for the Lord is good. You might have missed that. You might have missed that God is really good, and how we know he's really good is that his love never ends, and we're going to talk about what that looks like in just a moment, but don't let that slip by. Remember, be reminded, sing, celebrate, read it again, remind yourself. Give thanks, for the Lord is good. It's this reminder, it's this invitation to give thanks. Something happens when we choose to give thanks, whether it is a spontaneous way that we're giving thanks or when we choose to give thanks. In both instances, something happens in us. We actually become different people when we choose to identify things that we can be grateful for and express gratitude. When we give thanks, when we are a people that give thanks, we're different. Something happens, something changes in us. We're transformed when we give thanks. And often what happens, what comes out of that, what that looks like is that we express joy. We're actually not just happy, but we have a sense of joy, of confidence in God in the midst of any situation, that joy just kind of comes out of us. And we're also generous, that we find ourselves giving not just to the one who's given to us, but to others around us. Give thanks, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever. Giving thanks is both an attitude and it's a response. It's an attitude, and this saying is, I wasn't going to say this, that the attitude of gratitude, because it's kind of one of those things that seem really, really trite, and let's not say that because it's too trite and overused. And then this week I was in a new pizza joint right by my house, and on all of their boxes they had written an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of gratitude. And it was kind of a cool, hip place. And so I feel better about saying an attitude of gratitude. That giving thanks is actually an attitude. It's something that's internal that affects our mind and our heart, that we actually have an attitude of thankfulness, that it's something that's internal, that we're thinking about the one that's given something to us or what we've received. But it's also a response. It's something internal, but it's also something external. That giving thanks also elicits this thing that impacts those around us, that we do something. So it's both an attitude and a response. And that might sound kind of scientific. Let me throw this other definition at you. I really like this one, and it's from a guy named Webster. But it's really, really helpful. Listen to this. What is giving thanks? What is gratitude? It's kindness. Get this. It's kindness awakened. Kindness awakened by a favor received. Kindness awakened by a favor. When we receive something, whether it's in a time of need and it's something that actually gets us through the next day or week that we wouldn't have made it without that, or whether it's a simple word of affirmation, whether it's as simple and maybe even just automatic of somebody holding the door open for us as we walk through. But it's kindness awakened by a favor received. That when we actually stop and acknowledge that that's happened, when we realize that we've received something, if we choose to be thankful for that, if we choose to express gratitude, something changes within us and kindness is awakened. Martin Luther is this reformer from the 16th century, a pastor and a theologian, and he says it this way, that gratitude is the basic Christian attitude. It's the basic Christian demeanor. It's a basic Christian posture. It's a great basic Christian attitude that we have. And the reason is if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you've trusted in Jesus, what it means is that you understand that there's a God who loves you and has created you and has given his son to you, that you've been saved, you've been forgiven, you've been loved, you've been saved. And what happens is your whole world now is shaped by that truth and that reality. And so what it means to be thankful, to express our gratitude to God and to those around us, to have that kindness awakened is the basic. That's how we go through each and every day. That's how we live our lives. That's the basic reason, the basic way that we see everything around us. Listen to this verse. It's in James chapter 1, verse 17, and this explains the reason why this is so. The reason this is so. Listen to this. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Listen to that again, because for many of us, we can go, this is so true. And we can just begin listing the ways that this is true. And then there's more than a few of us probably right here today that hear that, and we go, I'm not buying that. No, I've been without good and perfect gifts for a long time. But what this says here in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. That every good and perfect gift, think of it this way, everything that we need to get through our day, everything that we need to get from one hour to the next hour, everything that we need to sustain us in our friendships and in our work and in our life and our responsibilities to be alive and to be here, everything that we need for that, every good and perfect gift, God has a hand in. God's responsible for. God knows about. God's not oblivious to. God is aware of everything that we need, and it comes from him. This points to the very nature of who God is. Again, in Psalm, when it says, give thanks, for the Lord is good, his love endures forever. What it's pointing to is that God is good on a regular basis, because in his very nature, part of who he is that we can't understand him without understanding this about him is that he is a giver, that God gives. I heard it said this way this week, that we can love without giving. We can give without loving, but we cannot love without giving. We can give without loving. You can actually give something to somebody and not love them. You can do it out of a sense of obligation or responsibility or coercion, but we can't love without giving. We can't say, I love you, or I love this people, or I love these neighbors, or I love these coworkers, without giving to them in some way. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. It's in his very nature. Everything that we have comes from him. That might be a really good exercise for us to think through. What are the things that I need to get through the rest of my day, to get through my week, to accomplish my dreams, to sustain me in this friendship, this relationship, this marriage, this work that I have? It all comes from God. That God is aware of it all and orchestrating it all and has an eye on it all and is providing it all. Every good and perfect gift, that everything we have originates from God himself. That his desire and his very nature is to give to us, to help us, to meet our very needs. He's given us all, and we actually have a choice on whether we acknowledge that or not. Whether or not we acknowledge it changes the impact that truth, that reality has on us. When we choose to acknowledge it, it's how we give thanks, how we express gratitude. When we choose not to, when we tell ourselves a different story of where things come from, we tell ourselves a different story, we believe a different narrative of how it is that we get through it and make through one day to the next, it impacts how we view the world and how we treat others. When we acknowledge it's from God, this kindness is awakened in us by the favor that God's given to us. I have a friend that she's part of our church family here at Mosaic, and she shared with me recently a journal that she has. And if you journal a lot, maybe you can relate to this. If you've never journaled, this might be a very foreign concept to you. But what I don't journal very often at all, but I have friends that journal, and when I hear them talk about it, it's not like they have one journal, but it's like they have like a plethora of journals that are kind of at the same time. Does anybody know anybody like that? They have journals going at the same time for different occasions and different purposes. No? Okay. Well, my friend that was sharing this with me this recently has multiple journals going at the same time for different purposes. And she has one that she says, when I have a bad day, when just one of those days where just nothing goes right, one of those days where nothing's encouraging, I have a journal for that day. But it's not called my dumb day journal. It's actually called, it's her smile journal. So on a day that she's not smiling, she actually chooses to open up this journal to a blank page and force herself to sit down and go, what are the things in this very bad day that I can be grateful for? What can I be thankful for? And she goes through the discipline of actually writing things out that she can be thankful for in the midst of having a very bad day, and begins to write them down. And what she shared with me was that as she goes through that discipline, as she has that practice in her journal, she begins to smile at the end of a very bad day, because she's writing things down that she can be grateful to God for. The most simple thing. And she writes them down in her journal and she begins to smile. And then what she finds herself doing is turning back and looking at days past where she's had very bad days and she's found things to be grateful for. And she's grateful to God, and she has a journal specifically for that. I don't know how many journals she has, but that's one of them. And she goes to it on bad days because she's choosing to acknowledge that there's things in her life that are good even on a bad day, that there are things in her life that are good that are from God. And when she acknowledges them, something changes in her. And she can be grateful and smile even in the midst of a bad day because she's choosing gratitude. She's choosing thankfulness. James 1:17 says that every good and perfect gift comes from God. But then there's, among all of the gifts that God gives us, then there's an ultimate gift. There's a There's a best gift that we read about in 2 Corinthians 9, chapter 9, verse 15. And Paul is writing in this letter to the Corinthian church, and he writes of the very best gift, and he says it this way. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And it's, you can see it right there if you don't have it open in front of you. There's actually an exclamation point at the end of gift. There's not a lot of those in Scripture, and so when they show up, we should pay attention to them. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And he's very emphatic. He puts an exclamation point right there. And, you know, this wasn't like, they didn't have emojis then. And also, he took time to say, I'm going to put this piece of what is it called? Punctuation, thank you. Punctuation in this sentence at this time. And there's this exclamation point at the end of it. And it comes at this long section where he's writing about people who are being generous. And he's talking to a particular group of people in Corinth, and he's pointing to another people, and he's saying, hey, look at these people that are generous. Look at how they act. Look at how they behave. The reason that they behave this way is because they've been changed by God. And thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And it's very specific what he's talking about. What Paul is talking about here that ends in an exclamation point is Jesus. Of all the gifts that God gives us, Jesus is the best gift. It's the one that's indescribable. It's above and beyond all of the rest. When we actually are grateful for the person and work of Jesus, we're transformed. For those of us that are followers of Jesus, where we've believed Jesus and we've said, Jesus, I trust you and I believe in you, we are transformed. And part of that is as we give thanks, as we celebrate him, as we express our gratitude to who Jesus is and what he has done for us, we're changed. There's this gal that was invited by a friend to a dinner party. And this gal was didn't have a lot of friends. In fact, she was looked down upon, ostracized, labeled. And she went with her friend who was serving at a dinner party, and got to go into the room where the guests of honor were, and they were discussing and having a conversation. And she stood on the wall and just kind of observed the party, the dinner party. And this story is recorded in Luke chapter 7. And this gal stands on the side of the dinner party and watches the guests. And again, it's in first century Palestine. And so they're leaning down. They're sitting on the cushions by the low table. And the servants would be along the side. And she was standing with her friend who was serving and watching this happen. And she positioned herself right behind Jesus. And Jesus was in conversation with these Pharisees. And they were debating about really high-level stuff. Right there, and she just begins to weep, and she cries, and her tears fall on Jesus' feet, and then she ends up kneeling down, and she's got long hair, and she starts to wipe his dirty feet with her hair, and it actually says she kissed his feet, which you can just read that in the whole description, or kind of pause there for a moment and just think about how utterly awkward that had to be for Jesus. And Jesus really has just mental strength to be able to stay focused in a conversation with a woman kissing his feet. Or maybe that was a common thing. I don't know, but I just can't imagine what that would be like. But he's there in a discussion. She's kissing and drying his feet with her hair. And then she takes out probably the most valuable thing she had, an alabaster container of perfume, and puts it on his feet. It says one of the Pharisees who was hosting the party is named Simon. He actually thinks to himself, it says that, man, if this guy Jesus just even knew what she was really like, if knew the label that was on her as a sinful woman, he would have stopped this and not let it happen. And Jesus actually knows what he's thinking because he's Jesus, and he addresses the question that he's not yet verbalized and tells a story about how much one person is forgiven versus another, and asks the question, the one that's, who's going to be more loving? Who's going to respond in a different way? He says, well, one that's forgiven so much more than the other one. And he says, yeah, those that are forgiven much love much. And he looks at the woman. And the woman realizes that she's accepted by Jesus in a way that nobody else in the room accepts her. That she's kind of snuck in and doesn't really belong. But Jesus has loved her and has accepted her and not rejected her. And he turns to her and says, your sins are forgiven, which would have caused an uproar in the room. And then he looks at her and says, your faith has saved you. Her being accepted, her being loved, has elicited this kindness that's awakened in her, that she's loved. And she responds with this just almost irresponsible generosity of pouring this expensive perfume on his feet. She responds with this joy, even in the midst of tears, of knowing she's rejected by anyone else, but that he's accepted her and forgiven her and actually values her enough to say, "You're loved." That's what happens when we're grateful. There's another story just a few chapters later of a real short guy that climbs up in a tree who doesn't have very many friends, but he's got a whole lot of money. His name's Zacchaeus, and Jesus invites himself over for dinner, and Zacchaeus has got a nice pad, an awesome condo right downtown wherever he is, and they go in, and he's got everything that you can imagine, but Jesus doesn't really care about all that, and they have dinner, and over the conversation, Zacchaeus, in the midst of it, stands up, and he says, "You know what? I'm a changed man. Simply by you accepting me and being willing to come over to my place for dinner, which no one else will, communicating to everyone else around me that you actually value me and love me, that you accept me." He stands up, and I don't know who else was in there, and it would have been really awkward if it was just Jesus, but he stands up and he says, "Everybody I've ripped off, I'll give back four times the amount." This generosity flows out of him because he's been loved and accepted by Jesus. When we choose to be grateful for what God has given us in the person and work of Jesus, we become different people. Not only are we redeemed and saved at our very core and our very soul, but we become different people in the very character, our very attitude that exudes from us is one of joy and generosity. When we are grateful and thankful for what Jesus has done.